Now, on the rare occasions that politicians get to vote according to conscience when they're not bound to toe the party line, the debates are often the most eloquent and emotional that you'll hear. And that's been true this week in the New South Wales Parliament, where MPs are debating a bill to liberalise abortion laws. Some female MPs have referred to their own decisions to have abortions. Others have spoken of their deep belief in the rights of unborn children. Their words reflect their conscience. But what right do doctors have to exercise conscience if a patient requests an abortion? Associate Professor Joanna Howe of the University of Adelaide is a leading expert on labour rights. She has just published a study on doctors' conscience and abortion, and Joanna joins us from Adelaide. Welcome, Joanna.
Thank you, Andrew. Good to be here.
What is your principal concern about the abortion bill that's being introduced into the New South Wales Parliament?
So, Andrew, let me start by telling you what I'm not concerned about with the abortion bill. I think it is an important step to decriminalise abortion in New South Wales so that women do not have any threat of criminal penalty for procuring an abortion. However, what is really concerning about the abortion bill is its effect on increasing the number of late-term abortions, in that it decreases the scrutiny on these abortions taking place. So some people have alleged that because there's now a two-doctor requirement, that this will increase the scrutiny on late-term abortions. However, there's a very loose criteria around this. So the second doctor doesn't even have to see the patient or look at her file. The second doctor does not need to be independent. So, for example, it could be the anaesthetist at an abortion clinic. And even more telling, as a legal academic, there is no legal penalty if the two-doctor rule is not observed. So a law without a penalty is no law at all. And under this new law, late-term abortions can be basically made for any reason at all because a very broad criteria has been given. So that's my first concern. The second concern relates to that, and that's around the rights of doctors to conscientiously object. If the bill is likely to increase the number of abortions, and the only state with a very similar law that's been in place for over a decade, that's Victoria. In that state, late-term abortions have increased by 39% since that similar model was introduced. I think there's a real concern that in the New South Wales bill, it follows the Victorian model again, and it doesn't allow doctors to conscientiously object and to say, look, I don't want to have a part to this.
Yeah.
I don't want to refer for abortion.
And why is freedom of conscience for doctors a matter of workplace rights? Because we should point out, Joanna, that you are a noted advocate of the rights of workers and of trade unions. So why do you see this matter of conscience as a question of the doctor's workplace rights?
Because we come to our workplaces, Andrew, with our whole self. And we come with our conscience. And doctors, like lawyers, like journalists, they're professionals. And as medical professionals, they've done a lot of study and they come to this discipline with immense knowledge and experience. And in undertaking the Hippocratic Oath, doctors commit to preserving human life and to protecting it in all circumstances. And if a doctor firmly believes, as an ethical point of view, that human life begins at conception, and let's face it, this is contested, but there is a lot of science to suggest that it does. If a doctor firmly believes that, then it is a matter of a workplace right, of their autonomy, of their integrity, to allow them to hold that position and to not be complicit in an act which they believe is the taking of human life.
You know, I can hear, though, the response coming back to you and to the point that you've made, the argument that you've made. Well, what's the problem then, Joanna, with requiring a doctor who declines to perform abortion, but requiring that doctor to refer the patient to a doctor who's more willing?
Yes, I can understand that question. And I think the reason people ask that question is because they don't understand the magnitude of what referral is. Referral for a doctor is not just like recommending someone on Airbnb to sign up to Airbnb because you can refer a friend and get a $25 credit on your Airbnb account. Referral for a doctor is actually a legal term that's enshrined in the regulations under the public insurance system, what it means is that the doctor has to have consulted with the patient, met with the patient and fully satisfied themselves of the fact that the patient needs this medical procedure and that it should begin through referral to another participating doctor. And this establishes a relationship between not just the initial doctor, but the doctor to whom the patient is referred to. So it's a term of art. And in the doctors that have expressed a conscientious objection, what they've firmly said and what we have also found in our own research is that by referral you become complicit. It is the starting point. It is the first step in the abortion process. So, for example, in Victoria, where we have had these laws for over a decade, we've had a number of doctors be subject to disciplinary action because they don't want to refer. One doctor didn't want to refer because the patient didn't like the sex of the baby and thus wanted to procure an abortion, and he refused to do that on the grounds of sex selection. And so for these doctors, referral is the first step in a process that leads to the taking of an innocent life.
Yes, that doctor who did not wish to perform or indeed refer a person to another doctor because they wanted to abort the 19-week-old fetus on the basis of it being female, that was Dr. Mark Hobart, who's been in the press recently. He said he was investigated and given a formal warning.
Yes, and that, as an employment lawyer, that greatly concerns me that we can be giving employees formal warnings for obeying their conscience. Because as a society, freedom of conscience protects the rights of individuals to adhere to an ethical or moral position independent of other people's viewpoints and regardless of others' objections. And we have to ask ourselves, do we want to be in Australian society where we are overriding freedom of conscience of medical professionals and leading to punitive consequences like a warning, which could then ultimately lead to dismissal if it leads to further warnings down the track?
Let me just slightly complicate it, Joanna, because you deal with a lot of nuance in your work. Now, I don't know of any doctor who holds this view, but conceivably there might be a doctor who holds a fringe religious view that they're not going to give a blood transfusion. Now, of course, that could threaten the life of a patient. Should that doctor's conscience be preeminent over state compulsion?
It's a very good question, Andrew. Obviously, there are contours around conscience in that we can't allow conscience to be unlimited in all circumstances. And in the academic research that we've done, what we've said is that it's perfectly acceptable that if there is a need to save a patient's life, then in that situation, a doctor should be compelled to refer for abortion because it's the taking of one life to save the other, the immediate life, the patient's life. And so in the blood transfusion example, if the patient's life needed to be saved, then the blood transfusion would have to take place. But let's be clear, this isn't what's happening here. Since abortion has been decriminalised in Victoria and the New South Wales model is very similar, this allows abortions for psychosocial reasons and it doesn't deny abortion on self-selection. So it can include relationship breakdown, it includes financial problems that can be because the patient doesn't like the gender. It can be for mental health reasons. So it doesn't have to be for life-saving treatment. Say, for example, in the Northern Territory, where abortion is only allowed after 23 weeks to save the life of the mother. So with abortion being decriminalised and the reasons for it being broadened, arguably we need to protect the rights of doctors even more and their rights to freedom of conscience, because they may find themselves in situations where they're being forced under the law to refer for an abortion which they do not support the reason for. They do not believe that it's a legitimate reason. So, for example, in Victoria in 2011, a baby was aborted at 37 weeks for psychosocial reasons. And if the doctor in that case had a conscientious objection, under the Victorian law, they still would have had to refer. And the reality is at 37 weeks, many women are giving birth to their babies. My second son was born at 37 weeks.
Well, good to talk to you. Dr. Joanna Howe, she's Associate Professor at the University of Adelaide Law School, and she's completed a recent study for the Cambridge Journal of Religion and Law on the question of doctors and conscience. Joanna, thanks for joining us on the Religion and Ethics Report.
Thank you, Andrew. It was very interesting.